K540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York.
I spoke with Governor DeSantis several times.
President Biden says he's reached out to several governors and federal support is on its way to the south, where Hurricane Idalia is still causing widespread damage. It's now weakened to a Category 1 since hitting Georgia, but more than 365,000 people still don't have power there and in Florida, and the Carolinas are next.
I'm Jim Crisul in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, getting ready for Idalia.
This is my first rodeo, you know.
Diane Martin has never been through a storm like this before.
Afraid of getting water in, so I'm getting some sandbags ready just in case.
Tropical storm warnings, flood watches, and tornado watches are all posted across much of South Georgia and the Carolinas.
Meantime, South and Central Florida are now shifting into recovery mode. Airports in Tampa, St. Pete, and Clearwater are slowly reopening.
Did you hear the question, Senator, running for re-election in 2026?
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell seemingly froze today for more than 30 seconds while taking reporters' questions in Kentucky.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute.
It is the second time it's happened to him in the last month, but his team says this time he was just a little lightheaded, and he does plan to see a doctor. Rudy Giuliani is in more trouble in Georgia.
A D.C. federal judge has issued a default judgment in favor of two Georgia election workers, Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, in their defamation case against former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, then a Trump legal advisor, for baseless claims made after the 2020 election in Georgia. The judge says there'll be a trial to determine how much financial damages Giuliani will have to pay.
As CBS's Scott McFarlane reporting, Giuliani is also facing criminal charges over the 2020 election in the state's RICO case with former President Trump. The U.S. Embassy in Haiti wants Americans to leave. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
An embassy alert says given the current security situation and infrastructure challenges, Americans should leave Haiti as soon as possible, either by commercial flight or private transport. It says airlines are filling up fast. There was already a do not travel advisory in place, and the family members of U.S. government employees, as well as non-emergency workers, were ordered to leave given the violence there.
In Africa, senior military officers have seized control of Gabon.
The borders are closed until further notice. All the institutions of the Republic are dissolved.
That announcement on national television there, the country's president is under house arrest. And here at home, CNN is bringing in former New York Times and BBC leader Mark Thompson to turn things around. Thompson replaces Chris Licht, who was fired earlier this summer. It's CNN's third leader in less than 2 years. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A beach hazard statement winds down this evening for Lake Michigan beaches. 3 to 6 foot waves and strong currents have been impacting the area since yesterday. A Waukesha County zip code is one of Realtor.com's hottest zips of 2023. Jimmy Koska has more.
53005 in Brookfield is ranked 16th among the 20 hottest zip codes. Homes in this area receive 3 times more property views compared to the national average, with houses spending an average of 27 days on the market and a June listing price of $472,000. Another Wisconsin zip code, 54703, which is Eau Claire, made the list at 46th place.
Gas prices have come back down a little bit, but the hurricane could impact that. The average today in Milwaukee County is $3.71 a gallon. It's 3 cents higher in Waukesha County. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Sandwiches are the original fast food. What could be easier than spreading a bit of mustard on Country Hearth's cracked wheat bread, then topping with smoked ham and cheddar, or maybe a peanut butter and strawberry jam on Kids' Choice Whole Grain White. So, on your way to the lake or park this summer, skip the drive-thru and pack a cooler with your favorite sandwiches instead. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And how many times have we said fascism creeps in on little cat's feet? It's creeping into Wisconsin. We spend a lot of time on this show talking about Trump, talking about fascism creeping in, attacks on democracy by the Republican Party nationally. But it's happening right here in Wisconsin. We're going to get to it right now. Robin Voss, speaker, illegitimate speaker of a gerrymandered legislature. Why do I say he's illegitimate? Because he would not be the speaker. In fact, he wouldn't be in the assembly if there were fair maps. There are crooked maps, dishonest maps, and then they all got together, this corrupt Republican legislature, and elected one of their own to be the speaker. Well, he gave a statement. Just gave a statement the other day, and he renewed with more purpose the threat to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. Janet Protasiewicz, who was elected by more than a 10-point margin, more than 55-45 against Kelly back in April. The Republicans didn't like that. They don't want Protasiewicz ruling on cases such as redistricting, the maps, whether the 1849 abortion statute is still viable 70 years later, drop boxes, and a lot of other things. But they're boiling it all down to just yelling about redistricting, about fair maps. I'm going to go into right now. Here's what he said and is threatening. Here's how I think they're going to go about doing it and what I think the correct response should be. The truth of the matter is that Janet Protasiewicz is an excellent justice. She's very smart, very strong-willed, and she has a good demeanor about her, good judicial demeanor. She's not going to put up with this. They're saying you either have to agree not to rule in the bid rigging, I should say, the election line rigging case, or we will impeach you. And what they're doing is they're taking the position that, hey, all we have to do by majority vote is to vote to impeach you, then you've got to step down. The Senate has to vote to convict. The Senate has to vote to convict by two-thirds. They have a two-thirds veto-proof majority. But some of those state senators, if they voted to do this, would lose their seats, and they know it, and they don't think they can get it through the Senate. So the Senate, here's the plan. Here's the Green Bay sweep they're trying in Wisconsin. The Senate is going to stick it in its pocket and think about it, not vote on it for a couple of years. And so what will happen is, according to Voss, Janet Protasiewicz will not be on the Supreme Court, and that election will have meant nothing in April, and the Senate will pocket veto it, just like they did with Tony Evers' nominations for Board of Regents, for the DNR, and a lot of other positions. Now, so far, a lot of the discussion on the Democratic side has been, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. So far, a lot of the discussion has been, well, yeah, technically she'd have to step down, but Evers would, she could resign, and then Evers would appoint her replacement. Baloney. She shouldn't step down. Why should she step down? Another bunch of people go, well, she could step down and designate her successor that Evers would appoint, who would only serve for a limited period of time, and then she would take the seat back. Baloney. Baloney. Let me tell you what should be done. She should go along absolutely as she has done, saying, well, no, I'm not going to agree to hear a case or not hear a case. I'll look at it. I'll look at the briefs. And she is one of the few honest people in a recent campaign who talked about this bid rigging question. Why do I say that? She said, look, I've looked at these maps. They look rigged. But I haven't made a decision on how I'd rule. I'll read the briefs and I'll give everybody a fair hearing. There are two Republicans who didn't do that. One of them is also on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Rebecca Grassl Bradley. Remember, there's two Bradleys and they're not related. The other one is Ann Walsh Bradley. Rebecca Grassl Bradley. She came right out and said the maps look fine to me, but the right wing is not saying she should step down. And Kelly, the guy that ran against her and lost by 10 points or more than 10 points, said he wouldn't touch the maps. They look fine with him. Nobody's saying that they are disabled by that. This is simply the Republican Party in a fascist way trying to overturn an election they lost and to keep their gerrymandered seats. Some of their seats have just chunks of population and they're not even contiguous. I think Jimmy Anderson, a great legislator over in Madison, has it. You know, I think he's in Fitchburg and he has to go somewhere else and he has to cross another seat and all that. It is a crooked deal. It is dishonest. Here's what I would do, Janet. You have our strong support. You have the strong support of everybody in this state, and I think including Republicans and independents who really prize independence in our elected officials. Here's what I'd do. Go ahead. Bring the impeachment motion, the crooked impeachment motion. Here's the plan, the Green Bay sweep here. They are going to excuse about 10 or 12 Republicans in tough seats who'll get up and say, no, I'm not going to vote for impeachment. Voss will give a little crocodile smile, but there's still enough votes to pass it by majority. Then Voss will say, you have to step down. We call on Josh Call right now to issue a decision the way he has done before on other things. And if it's not a formal decision, a press conference, and say, no, she doesn't have to step down. This is an illegitimate legislature who is passing something that's fraudulent to get rid of a Supreme Court justice. They have to take it to the Senate first and by 2/3 majority convict her. Then she'd have to step down, and they're not going to do that. Then there will be a dispute, and somebody will bring a lawsuit. But Janet Protasiewicz is on the Supreme Court. Janet Protasiewicz should stay on the Supreme Court and be part of the appeal on that lawsuit. So should Dalit and Walsh, Kurofsky, and 4-3, and I think maybe 5-2. Brian Hagedorn is a guy who doesn't like to get pushed around in the Constitution. He understands the Constitution. They'll say no. No. Until she is convicted, she does not have to step down. Now, let's say they come up with some legal authority Remember, it's all over the place. She had to step down. Well, I'll tell you what. Whatever the Supreme Court says is the law. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. If the crooked U.S. Supreme Court gets away with doing whatever they want, the state Supreme Court can do the right thing and do it in this case. It's extremely important that you contact everybody with any kind of decision-making authority on this issue and let them know what the people of Wisconsin want. And the people of Wisconsin want is Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court. And they don't want crooks trying to drive her off. And they're right in the middle of doing it. Fascism creeps on little cat's feet. We have a lot of callers. I'm going to get to as many of you as I can in order in this segment and the rest of your next segment. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, we're going to start with you. What's in your mind today, Bill?
But Matt, your opening statement, just wonderful. Just absolutely over the top. In fact, I was going to speak on what you said, but you kind of took the wind out of what I wanted to say. But I'm going to move to another step on that. I definitely think we should call them out. I think we should invite them to impeach her. And then the minute they go through it, let's start running the clock on the cost to the taxpayer. Let's just start running the clock, because this is going to cost the taxpayer a lot of money. Now, if they fail, we will countersue them for the cost of the tax, but, you know, they occurred on the taxpayer. Or we could take, call it obstruction. Or, now I'm asking you, you're the attorney, I'm not. Could it be called obstruction of justice under the 14th Amendment, Section 3? They are trying to subvert the way the law is written. They're trying to create an insurrection, so to speak, of overruling what's right in the country. The whole country knows, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I could be wrong on this, but I think Wisconsin's the most gerrymandered state in the nation, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I love your comments, and let me tell you something else. This is not a fight between the Democratic and Republican parties. This is a fight between democracy and commie government. What I've just described they're doing is commie government, pure and simple. And Josh Call and the four majority justices, and I'm hoping also Brian Hagedorn, have to get up publicly and say, we are not going to tolerate an illegitimate, corrupt impeachment while they pocket veto it in the Senate so that it just stays in limbo. And you say Fred Prentz should have stayed on, but not the person who just won by 10 points. Fred Prenn never ran for anything in his life. I'm very angry about this. It's about time we stood up for it. Thanks very much. Dan and Monona, you're next. What's on your mind today, Dan?
Well, Matt, I'm way off topic. I hope that's all right.
Well, hold on, Dan. We'll get you at the next segment. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Okay, here we go again. This is another attempt to overturn a lawful election. She hasn't even did any rulings or anything on that bench, and they're trying to take her out. Again, the same people involved in trying to overturn the Biden election, they're trying to overturn our justices' election in a maybe different manner, but there is no reason to even bring up the word impeachment of this judge. So once again, criminality runs deep in the state of Wisconsin, and we need to fight back. Thank you, Matt. This is just outrageous. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Gene, for what a great call. The rest of you, including Dana Monona, stay on. I will get to you next segment. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to a quick break, back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover.
of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies tonight with lows around 48. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 75. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 51. Ample sunshine expected Friday with daytime highs approaching 81. 91 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Let me say one thing before I go back to the lines. Take a look at the law. Take a look at the law. Here's what the statute says. I'm reading, quote, the assembly may impeach an elected official by a majority vote on specific reasons, colon, corrupt conduct in office or for the commission of a crime or a misdemeanor, period. That's it. Janet Protasiewicz has not committed any crime or any misdemeanor. Janet Protasiewicz has not engaged in corrupt conduct or any conduct. She's been on the court less than a month. So I got to say this to Josh Call, to the four majority justices, and frankly, I'd like to put Brian Hagedorn in there, the top five. Enough's enough. When a crooked, corrupt caucus, a Republican caucus, when Rat Dog McClownface, the speaker, says, I'm just going to wave a wand and say I'm going to impeach her. When he does that, when the statute says it can only be for the commission of a crime or misdemeanor or for corrupt conduct, and there is none, Rat Dog McClownface has to back off. And this has got to come from the four justices, I hope five justices, and Call. Enough's enough. We are not letting fascism creep in on little cat's feet in Wisconsin anymore. Go to the lines. Jack Amerimack, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jack?
Well, first of all, fascism in this particular Republican legislature is not on little cat's feet. It's clumping in on Clydesdale hooves. but this is more of the Republicans. They're just running scared spitless. Notice I made that appropriate for public radio. they're just afraid they're going to get voted out of office when the new maps come in and there's no more gerrymandering. And that will happen. It might not happen this next election, but I have high hopes. I really do sincerely hope that it will happen. But what's, you know, this whole thing, Ziegler is mad because she can't control the timing, the agenda of the court anymore. Voss is just crazy, scared that he's going to get kicked out of office because he almost didn't even survive a primary the last election. And it's about time these guys have some comeuppance. But Well, I'm sure what, you know, when this happens, and we will get new maps and they will be not gerrymandered. And when that happens, what I believe is going to happen is the Republicans will see a huge, huge backlash. A lot of people voting who now say, oh, my vote really does count. And as we both know, when everybody votes, Republicans lose.
Right. Excellent call, Jack, as always. And that before I go to the next caller, I want to reiterate what I just said. I need Josh Call and five of the justices, including Brian Hagedorn, to say, no, you can't just impeach someone in a gerrymandered legislature, automatically yank their ticket, and let the Senate go to sleep for a couple of years so you can control the Supreme Court. We're not putting up with that anymore. And we have a legal basis. The legal basis says, the statute, quote, the assembly may impeach an elected official by a majority vote for specific reasons, colon, corrupt conduct in office or the commission of a crime or misdemeanor, felony or misdemeanor. That's it. So when they simply try to yank her ticket and say you're on the sidelines, when that statute has not been satisfied, that is an illegitimate impeachment. And absolutely, the attorney general and the majority in the Supreme Court can say that. They can say, we believe that you have the right to impeach, but it has to be for corrupt conduct or the commission of a crime or misdemeanor. You didn't do that. You're pulling a political fast one, yanking her ticket and sending her to the sidelines. She's not going to the sidelines. Not only that, she is going to participate in the decision that says that. It is time for once. We keep talking about Fannie Willis, we keep talking about Jack Smith. I'm tired of all this stuff. This is Wisconsin. Get rid of Voss. Get rid of the Republican Party as it's presently constituted in this state. We're going to the lines. Dan of Monona, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dan?
Well, I was just going through your videos, and I always like your opinion, man. And it looks like Mitch McConnell had one of those freeze-ups again. And yeah, it looks like he's not doing well. And I just wonder, you know, between him and Feinstein, why don't they just step down instead of – they're not protecting their seats, are they? Because don't the governors pick someone to finish their term? I don't understand, I guess, why they keep –
Well, Dan, think about this. Both of those people are in the most exclusive club in the world. Everybody kisses their behind when they walk down the hall. Nobody wants to give that up. Feinstein, I think, should absolutely step down and let Gavin Newsom appoint a replacement. He said he'll appoint a black woman, a law professor who won't run again. Don't interfere with Schiff and Porter and all the rest of them. Easy. With Mitch McConnell, what he's afraid of is the governor of Kentucky is a Democrat named Andy Beshear. And they passed a statute that's unconstitutional saying he has to appoint a Republican. Andy Beshear said, I won't appoint a Republican. So there, listen, if Mitch were on life supports, they'd put a plug in his nose and breathe oxygen into him to keep him alive. Now, here's the deal. Mitch McConnell, as bad as he is, what do you want? You want somebody like... oh, my God. Ted Cruz is the majority leader. You want Scott of Florida? This guy, at least, is such a worm dog. He has been his entire life. You can sort of do business with him. So anyway, thanks for the call. We're coming to a break. The lines are open. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Keep
keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News special report. Hurricane Idalia has now weakened into a Category 1 as it moves further into Georgia, but President Biden says this storm could still cause a lot of damage.
It's moved over land and has now shifted to Category 1, but it is still very dangerous with winds up to 75 miles an hour.
Mr. Biden has been in touch with several governors in the South and says federal aid will be available. In Florida, people are still getting stuck in flooding.
I was calm. I was a little freaked out, but I mean, I just wanted to make sure that we got back up to safety, you know.
Storm surge reached up to 15 feet in some spots around the state's Big Bend, but it'll be a while before crews can see exactly how much damage Idalia has caused. Governor Ron DeSantis.
As soon as the storm passes, I think we'll probably end up trying to get on the road and figure out where the damage, the worst damage is, and get down there and see what we can do to be able to help those folks.
About 400,000 people still don't have power in the South. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Lake Michigan beach warning runs through early tonight.
A beach hazard statement remains in effect until 7 o'clock this evening for Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, and Lake counties. With winds gusting on the open waters, it's creating life-threatening waves of 3 to 6 feet high and dangerous rip currents. Do not swim at McKinley Beach, Grant Park Beach, North Beach, and Simmons Island Beach. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A medical emergency likely led to a car hitting a sidewalk and crashing into a sign near a Waukesha Park this morning. It's believed a child jumped out of that car near Woodburn and Willowwood, reporting that the driver was having a seizure. A street sign and two mailboxes were struck. With the start of classes about a week away, the Waukesha School District is currently seeking crossing guards. They're paying about $28 a day, and that's for about 2 hours worth of work. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, Racine, and 98.1 FM.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling us from my name, Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying here, but it's interesting that nobody on the Democratic side of the aisle is suggesting what that one Georgia representative is now suggesting, that violence might be the answer to prosecuting Donald Trump in the case of Jennifer DeSantis here in the state of Wisconsin. And maybe those two things are worlds apart, but I don't know unless our side suggesting violence as a response to what.
No, we rule that out. We rule violence out, Mark, obviously. But go ahead. Yeah, I mean, isn't the whole Republican Party. It's Trump and the guy from Georgia. There's a lot of responsible Republicans. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And Robin Voss is offering violence against the state of Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin's constitution, as far as I'm concerned, and that he should be called out for that because it's a violation of his oath to uphold the constitution of the state of Wisconsin and applying this stuff, not to play this political games. And that it's just, you know, par for the course for these guys. I think that, you know, power by any means necessary, and that and it has to be recognized as such. And it might not be Clydesdale feet, but I certainly think it's not little cat's feet, but polished up jack boots and come stepping in to take over the state of Wisconsin, because that's it is fascism. And that it's interesting, right, that I was reading the Madison's notes on the Constitutional Convention this morning. For some reason, it opened up to a page that talked about Madison actually suggested that suppression of, and he didn't say it in these terms, but he was saying that suppression of voting rights is actually, you know, an aristocracy and oligarchy trying to take over. And that's right. What we see here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's excellent. You're absolutely right with those comments. And I want to build on that remember, and then I'm going to take the next call, but remember something. This is a gerrymandered assembly. It is two seats short of a veto-proof majority, just two seats. In the Senate, they have a veto-proof majority, which is two-thirds. In the Assembly, they only need a majority to impeach, and that means they can give, I think, 13 or 14 of them a pass, who can all, you know, cry crocodile tears and say, not me, not me, but they'll still have enough to pass it. And then they say, okay, that automatically you got to step down, and you can't do anything, and we'll get around to the Senate in a couple of years so we can take the seat back. That's what they're saying. The correct legal response is the statute says the assembly may impeach an elected official by majority vote on specific reasons. The word specific is in the statute, colon, corrupt conduct in office or for the commission of a crime or misdemeanor. Okay, Speaker, Mr. Illegitimate Speaker, has she committed a crime or misdemeanor? Why don't we look on CCAP? Well, it turns out she has not committed a crime or misdemeanor. All right, she's been in less than a month. What corrupt conduct can you point to? She's had no conduct. She hasn't sat on a case. She doesn't speak publicly. She had no conduct. What is her conduct? That your guy didn't win. Now, if they go ahead and impeach her, there are a lot of naysayers, and the sky is falling, Chicken Little naysayers. They go, oh, well, she technically has stepped down. No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. She will then have been, quote, impeached, end quote, forget the illegitimacy of the impeacher, for something not permitted by the statute. She committed no crime or misdemeanor. She is not engaged in corrupt conduct or any conduct. So she hasn't. They have not obeyed the statute. If you don't obey the statute, you are not able to do it. Who decides that? The federal courts aren't going to step in because this is a matter of state law. Josh Call, are you listening to me? And the four, and listen, Brian Hagedorn, you listen to me, the five of you, have got to say, and the Supreme Court justices will not hold a press conference, nor should they, but when there's a motion that she somehow, or a lawsuit that she stepped down because she's been, quote, impeached, end quote, under no statute, the response has to be, you haven't followed the statute. That's not an impeachment. That's a political desire. That's all it is. Josh Call can speak publicly. He has spoken publicly before on other kinds of issues like this. And he can say, I've looked at this, and they have not. They're threatening impeachment, but it is not in accordance with the statute. It is unlawful in Wisconsin. Even if it's a majority legislature, if they do something unlawfully, the Supreme Court can say no. And they should say no here. Wisco Paul, my friend, thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, man. Great show today. Now, Voss already tried to take my vote away once in the presidential election. And he had help from other Republicans, some of them on the election commission. A senator tried to do it. and nobody's been charged for anything, and this is what happens. These people are never going to go away until justice is done. They tried to steal our vote in 2020, and now they want to impeach a Supreme Court justice that was elected by over 10% of the votes. One of the reasons was because people were fed up with the gerrymandered districts, which also takes away my vote. Boss needs to be charged with the 2020 election and the fake electors today. Today. Because if you're screwing all of these people, they're not going to do you any favors. They're not going to vote for you. It's ridiculous. And this is really frosting me here on this one. Because Voss likes being the mini governor or whatever you want to call him. They also took Tony Evers' power away when he was elected in 18. It just never stops. So, Carl, you got to do your job, and you got to charge these people to begin with for 2020. Because they're not going to stop. You're not going to get these votes anyway. So this here is a bridge too far here, though. This is crazy. And Voss is illegitimate, like you say, to begin with. So, and he's corrupt, totally corrupt. That's my rant for today, and it's really frosted me, you know. So, okay, thanks for taking my call.
Excellent call, Paul. As always, excellent call, my friend. This segues, by the way, into another very related issue, which I'm going to lay out there for people who are interested in commenting on it. Annette Ziegler is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. In my opinion, she was not legitimately elected Chief Justice. Let me tell you why I think that. Let me tell you what she's up to. Back in April, before the election, the Chief Justice was a woman named Pat Rogensack. Pat Rogensack was the Chief Justice, and along with Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Grassl Bradley, voted not to certify Joe Biden, even though he won the case. They were election deniers. Pat Rogensack realized that she could not get reelected having done that. She didn't run for reelection, and Janet Protasiewicz won with over 10% of the vote, or more than 55-45. Now, the other two, Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Grassl Bradley, are still on the court, and they're not up for reelection for another couple of years, I think 3 or 4 years. They all got together. This was a quick meeting. You may not know this, in April, right after Protasiewicz won. And they realized that the justices' vote for the Supreme Court, the chief judge, for a two-year term, and the two-year term, obviously Pat Rogensack couldn't continue because she hadn't run again. So they cooked it up in the parking lot. And Pat Rogensack, who was still on the court, even though she didn't run for re-election because it didn't turn over till August 1st, Pat Rogensack, Ziegler, Rebecca Grassl Bradley, and I think they got Brian Hagedorn to go along with them, voted Annette Ziegler in as chief judge for 2 years, till April of 25. That is illegitimate. They knew that Janet Protasiewicz was joining the court on August 1, that she'd won the election. This reminds me very much of Amy Comey Barrett being installed by Mitch McConnell during the lame duck. Remember that? After when Trump had lost and some senators voted for her who either lost or didn't run for re-election. Remember that? That's illegitimate. She is illegitimate. And this is an illegitimate chief justice to be voted on and to be orchestrated by someone who didn't run for re-election, was leaving the court in a couple of months, and a new justice was coming on. Now, I've talked to people in Madison, and I've said, all right, I'm going to give you a legal opinion. And it's coming from Matt Flynn, graduate of the UW Law School, editor-in-chief of the Law Review, and law clerk to the Judge Thomas Fairchild of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. This is not a casual opinion. If somebody is elected illegitimately, a majority of the justices can say that and vote for a new chief justice. Janet Protasiewicz is on the court now. She and Dalet, Kurofsky, and Ann Walsh Bradley, the good Bradley, could simply meet and say Annette Ziegler is no longer the Chief Justice. She was illegitimately elected. No federal judge will touch that. That is then the law. The bailiffs, the cops, and everybody else in the court will have to obey that. The impression I'm getting from the people, and I don't discount it, these are very, very savvy people, is that that would be seen as some sort of political thing. Why not just wait Ziegler out for two more years? Wait Ziegler out for two more years, then she will not be the Chief Justice and they can install one of the others. But what they did do was very, very smart. The four of them got together and said, we are going to redefine the Chief Justice's position and duties. The Chief Justice can no longer appoint the individual who supervises from a staff position administratively the judiciary in the state, and several other things. And they set up a committee to do that. And the committee has two of the majority members, two of the Democrats, and Ziegler. Ziegler came out with a very, very bitter email, attacks in the press. I have a suggestion for Annette Ziegler, and I have a suggestion for Rebecca Grassl Bradley. The handwriting is on the wall. If and when you run for re-election, you are not going to win. People in the state, Republican, Democrat, Independent, don't like a corrupt decision. And saying that Biden didn't win the election, that you would not certify him even when he did, is too far. So you have a couple more years anyway. You might want to consider resigning. But if you don't resign, please stop the bitter emails, because you pulled a fast one along with Pat Rogensack in April. And what the other justices did is not a fast one. It's just a very deliberate action saying we are not going to permit what are now remaining two justices who didn't vote, who voted not to certify Joe Biden, run the Supreme Court for two more years. Now, what do we do with this? Annette Ziegler is taking this too far. This court director, court administrator job I talked about, the Republicans had put a guy in from Jefferson County who's very right-wing, MAGA guy, and the rest of the justices don't want him. So what they did on this three-person committee they set up, 2-1, they voted to thank you for your service. Here's a gold watch. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And they appointed someone else. They appointed a woman named Audrey Skorowski. Audrey Skorowski, I know Audrey Skorowski. I know her father, Mike Skorowski, who is one of the great judges in Wisconsin history. He was a chief judge in Milwaukee, and Audrey Skorowski was a judge, and she's terrific. So she is now the court administrator or director, whatever they call it, to administer the judiciary around the state. What did Annette Ziegler do? She posted the position anyway, claiming it's open. For God's sake, you're justices. Annette Ziegler, you are a chief justice only because of the fast one in April. Knock it off. Quit interfering with the judiciary in this state. We are not going to permit fascism to creep in on little cat's feet. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlife, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlife will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size Light Bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org/nightlight. That's joyengine.org/nightlight.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 48 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 75. Lows level off around 51. Tomorrow night, clear skies. Sunny skies and calm Friday with daytime highs approaching 81. 91 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Don't let me down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And there's one other issue I want to put out that feeds in everything I just said about fascism creeping in on little cat's feet in Wisconsin. It's not just the Voss Janet Protasiewicz threat of impeachment. It's not just Chief Justice Annette Ziegler threatening and attacking the rest of the justices. Let me tell you what's going on with Megan Wolf, the executive director, the head administrator, really, not a voting member of the Wisconsin Election Commission. The Senate convened a hearing yesterday on whether or not they should reappoint, quote, reappoint her, end quote. Her term ended technically on June 30th, almost 2 months ago. It went to the Wisconsin Election Commission, and by a vote of 3-0, the three Republicans voted to reappoint her. It was a fake. It was fraudulent. It was in bad faith. Because it has to be confirmed by the Senate, and they've already cooked this up in the parking lot. And the Senate had already said, if let everybody know, they're not going to reappoint her because she is a very fair, she's a very, very good administrator, nonpartisan, not a voting member. So the Democrats, the three Democrats, did something very smart. It's a 3-3 Democrat-Republican split. They abstained. They didn't vote. Why did they not vote? They did not vote because the law says she can be either reappointed or not by a 4-vote majority, not by 3 votes. So there's no 4-vote majority. And Josh Call came out with an opinion I thought was a good one. And he said, it is not right for a Senate hearing because there's nothing before the Senate. Under the Fred Pren rule, that case that the Republican majority put in to keep Dentist Fred, remember Dentist Fred? Dentist Fred. My teeth are glowing in the dark, Dennis Fred. Why? Did you eat a fish from Marathon County? Well, yeah. Or from any county in Wisconsin or Lake Michigan or Green Bay? Because there's forever chemicals. Dennis Fred. Dennis Fred stayed on for 18 months to make sure that forever chemicals kept getting into our water supply. And everybody in the Republican Party yawns. Everybody who thinks he's a hunter and a fisherman yawns. What, they don't pay attention? They don't read a newspaper? No, apparently not. Well, the Dennis Fred rule applies to Megan Wolf. Megan Wolf is in there. Her position technically ended on June 30, as Dennis Fred's did 18 months earlier. But until a replacement is approved by the state Senate, she stays on. And they can't approve it because there is nothing before them to approve because 4 of the board have not taken action. Now, here is some of the testimony. This is great. some of the testimony before the committee the other day. Lisa Tollefson, the Rock County clerk, quote, without Megan Wolf, she said, we'd be in a world of crazy if Wolf is no longer serves as the state's top election official. We don't know what's going to happen. Strong leadership makes a difference. What the Republicans want to do is have the Senate, quote, remove her. And then they will appoint Gableman. Now, will they actually appoint the Gableoid? They'd be crazy to, because the Gableoid has cost us well over $2 million in a fake fraud claim. Sniffing around the state, he's been sued. He's been disciplined by judges. He falsely accused one judge of inappropriately seeing a female lawyer in his chambers. They would be crazy to appoint the Gableoid, except many of them are like the Gableoid, Gableman. But they will get a Gableman who is smoother. And here is what their objective. Listen to this very carefully. If they have a crooked administrator, this is why fascism is creeping in on little cat's feet here, too. He will just say, students in Madison and in Milwaukee can't vote with their dorm addresses. Or they can't use student IDs or some other ID. And wipe out 4% of the vote in the state, and then the Republican might win. That's what's going on. And then he will say, because one of them already did say this, our objective is to also drive down, besides the student vote, the Black and Latino vote in Milwaukee. Okay? It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You know who testified? This is unbelievable. Do you know who testified at this hearing? I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. The Gableoid. Gableman. They let him in. He was at large. They gave him safe passage. You know, somebody should have said, Gableman, you cost us two. Some people say $3 million, and you lied. And you know what his testimony was? I'm not kidding. The 2020 election was illegitimate, rigged, and stolen. He's still saying this stuff. He showed up. You know who also showed up? And this really, I thought, took a kind of guts would not be the right word for it. There's a guy named Peter Bernegger. I don't know if you remember the name. He's a convicted felon, and he's been investigated by the Capitol Police for stalking conduct against Megan Wolf. And his testimony was Megan Wolf should be put in jail. This is the testimony that the state Senate, the gerrymandered, illegitimate state Senate in this state, listened to yesterday to get rid of Megan Wolf, to put in a smoother Gableoid, to stop student voting, Black and Latino voting. Do I have to put it any more bluntly? Do I have to put it in ducks and bunnies? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is happening here with the top election official in the state. The top election official in Georgia is Brad Raffensperger. I'm not crazy about the guy. He's a Republican. But they wouldn't dare do that to Brad Raffensperger, even in Georgia, even in the Peach State. Georgia on my mind. They wouldn't do it. But here in Fighting Bob La Follette State, this is going on by Voss. This is going on by Voss. On Monday, a memo was issued by the Wisconsin Legislative Council, and it said 4 votes are needed to present anything to the state Senate. Josh Call issued an opinion. 4 votes are needed to put anything in the state Senate. And they have Gableoid and Peter Bernegger. I would have arrested Peter Bernegger if he's wanted for stalking conduct. He's not wanted. He's being looked at by the state Capitol Police. Please go in there and say, Bernegger, we want to talk to you. Bernegger went there to say that Megan Wolf should be thrown in jail. And the Gableoid went in to say the 2020 election was stolen. This is crooked. I'm telling you, this is crooked in Wisconsin. It's crookeder than Georgia. It's crookeder than any southern state you've heard of. We're coming right into the show. Great show. Great show as always. Great caller. Sorry I had to leave some of you on the line. I'll get to you tomorrow. Great show coming up. Devil's Advocate, Diamond Kroot, Matt Flynn direct. Back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Great show.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.